You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where it's Betfair Chase Day at Haydock, a tremendous card there, and we've also got good jumping action at Ascot. They're supported in the afternoon by a national hunt fixture at Huntingdon, and we've got Lingfield on the poly track, all live from 11:35pm with Wolverhampton in the evening. Gary Capel, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Andy Holding will be the team in the studio to guide you through on Saturday. But joining myself, Sam Norris, head of all the action, is Paddy Aspel to look at for tomorrow. How are you, Paddy?
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good form, pal.
Good stuff. We'll start our podcast with a little spin through the news, as we always do. We'll start with the front page of the Racing Post today. Kony Greig back on track for the Hennessy. After spreading a plate, it looks more likely now that he's likely to go for the race, whereas his participation looked in doubt a week ago. But would your enthusiasm be tempered a little bit after those injury concerns for the Hennessy?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, he's not that long back from his return run, which was a very, very taking appearance at Sandown, where he made all, jumped like a buck. I was very impressed. I mean, I was very surprised to see that some people were cribbing him that day, but I mean, he couldn't do any more than win. I thought he jumped great, travelled lovely, and he looked like the horse that had signed off with his Gold Cup win at Cheltenham's on his final run, and I was very impressed.
Is the nature of the injury something that can happen to any horse, spreading a plate? Would that be a common injury?
Well, I mean, when they say spread a plate, I mean, it's literally, you know, horses do it every day of the week, just pull a shoe off. It depends. Sometimes they can take some of the foot as well. You get certain horses have got harder feet than others. And if a horse has got pretty hard feet, he can whip a shoe off and you wouldn't even notice a thing. You just whack it straight back on. Some horses have got softer feet and they can tear some of the foot away, which makes it difficult for a farrier to have a bit of foot to work on, you know. But that said, the majority of horses have pretty decent feet. Mostly you would see with flat horses. You can see black farriers have got to put all sorts of stuff onto, it's like glue, plastic, all sorts of stuff. But it's more with flat horses. But with jumpers, you wouldn't see it as much.
Okay. So no real concerns for you then of his chances in the Hennessy off top weight?
No, because I suppose, look, the only thing you're saying is he's missing out on work. But, I'm sure that the Bradstocks know that they saw a horse like the back of their hand. They know how much work he takes, how much he needs. So if they're happy to go, everybody else should be rest assured.
Okay. Yeah, looking forward to his reappearance very much. We couldn't really do this podcast, Paddy, without mentioning the big gamble of the day yesterday on four Sheena West-trained, Dan Steele-owned horses. Four of them were backed in. I think the accumulator would have paid something around 40,000 to one the night before, went off about 30 to one. All of them flattered to deceive. Only one beat a rival home. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a bit strange, wasn't it? But I mean, in the past, we have had sort of things like this that have happened, and some of them have come off, and it's been, you know, a lot of the public have followed it and got involved, and it's been good. It's been good for the sport, really. But yeah, I'm afraid yesterday was a little bit of a damn squib, wasn't it? But look, that's the way it goes. It's like I say, it'll be all news sort of even by tomorrow.
Yeah, and of course it landed on Airgold Cup Day with the Richard Fahey trained the Touch horses. There were four horses called Something Touch, owned by the same owners. Three of them went in on that day.
I see,
and one of them failed.
Mm.
So, but it was interesting. At one point yesterday, you could get the same price about these four Sheena West horses as you could have got on Undersow, Annie Power, Vittor and Forheen at the festival last year. I know which four father I'd rather have on my side, Paddy.
Exactly. But like I say, I mean, it's in a way it's good because, you know, it gets the public involved and it just creates a little bit of interest. Yeah, it didn't come off and like I say, it was a damn squib, but it'll soon be forgotten, and it won't be long till it'll happen again, something similar.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting to watch. Just before we move ahead then to Saturday's races, we've got the Betfair Chase, the preview, obviously. Just 5 runners declared for this paddy, and a lot of them ran in it last year. It's a little bit of a disappointing turnout, and that £1 million Triple Crown prize pot largely ignored.
Yeah, and probably more so, the biggest disappointing thing was the entries. Mm. You know, the entries were like quite limited, and there's no doubt it's disappointing. But I suppose, look, Haydock, when it gets wet there, they're very very tough conditions, and with these better horses, the opportunity to run them, the races to run them throughout the season, don't come along that often. So you've got to pick and choose. These trainers are pick and choose very carefully. And obviously, you know, they want to win with these horses. So they try, if at all possible, to try and keep them apart if they can, you know. But tomorrow is going to be interesting, because we spoke about it yesterday, whether Nofa Healy is keen to test Q-Card's metal, which I thought for the first time ever he showed plenty of metal in the Charlie Hall at Weatherby. I was quite impressed. But if Silvianaco Conti, if he tries to stretch him tomorrow on bad ground, and it comes down to, you know, a little bit of a war attrition, you would tend to be, well, I personally would tend to be with Silvianaco Conti, but I was taking a cue card in his reappearance. It was a real good performance.
Okay, well, we'll get into that race in a little bit more detail in due course. We'll start our Saturday preview at Ascot with their 205, grade 2 here. This is the Stella Artois 1965 Chase. 5 runners again for this, so small field, but perfectly formed. And of course, we've got Vitor heading the bill here. Petite Zig also in the race, 3rd intention, 7th Sky, and O'Fallon's boy. But all eyes will be on Vitor, Paddy.
Yeah, without a doubt. It'll be great to see him again. I mean, it's so interesting, isn't it? Like the team of horses that Willie Mullins has got to go to war with this year. His biggest headache, and I know it's going to be unavoidable all season, but it's just keeping these good horses apart. But he's a fella I love to listen to in his interviews, because even the other day when he ran, what was his good horse he ran at Fairy House the other day that got beat in the Morgiana Hurdle?
Oh, Fahin.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he had the first 3 in the betting, yeah. And he said, you know, I'd be very confident in the forecast, but he says, I couldn't honestly tell you what's going to win, you know, that kind of way. And that's the type of trainer he is. And Fahin didn't do anything wrong. You know, I thought it was a very good ride from the front, David Mullins.
Beaten by a good individual as well.
A good individual. And, you know, Fahin didn't do a lot wrong. Yeah, I do think he probably didn't travel as well into the straight and pick up as I'm sure Ruby anticipated he would quick up a little bit quicker than what he did. But he winged the last and he landed running. But as soon as he got to the winner's girths, you know, the winner wasn't for passing. So I don't think it was a complete fluke. Like I say, although he did get a good ride on the front end, I think he was beat by a pretty decent horse on the day. And there wasn't too much disgrace in it.
Yeah. And can Vitor oblige here for Willie Mullins in this 205?
I think so. You know, I'm sure that they were very keen to get him going somewhere, and to go to a track like that first time. That he's obviously schooled pretty well, so they're happy in that department. And it's something that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing.
Would he get the selection for you then in the 205?
I think so. Yeah. Like I say, he is a good sort. You know, and I suppose publicly-wise, you really, really wouldn't like to see him get beat, because I'm sure a lot of people have taken this horse into their hearts now.
Yeah. A short price for the Gold Cup as well. So Vitor getting the pick then for Paddy in the 205 at Ascot. We'll stay at Ascot now for the Ascot Hurdle. This comes up at 2:40. Another grade 2 over 2 mile and 3 furlongs. 6 runners for this one, where Rock on Ruby heads affairs at the time recording, 6-4. Brother Ted, who of course beat Silvianaco Conti on his seasonal reappearance, he's 13-8. 13-2 about Court Minstrel. Sea Lord is 10-1. Grometti is 11-1. And River Maig is the 25-1 outsider. A couple of good types towards the front of the market here, Paddy.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose it all depends on the, you know, the forecast and what sort of weather we get, you know. Because it is going to be sort of ground dependent for these better horses. You know, it's like I say, the field sizes are disappointing, but, you know, there's only so many good horses to go around. But it's interesting that Barry Gurdy is actually... Is this the first time he's ridden him?
Quite possibly, yeah.
You know, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets over him. He's a bonny little horse. I thought when he ran first time, he looked like a horse that was going to come on. From the way he finished anyway, he looked like a horse that was going to come on from his first run. He actually got quite tired that day. I mean, that was only 3 weeks ago, but the little horse has obviously bounced back pretty quick. And Harry Fry is keen to go again. It'll be interesting to see how Barry and him get along together.
Rock on Ruby for you then in the 240.
Yeah, I do like him. Yeah, he's a real pleasant little horse. He seems to really thrive on his racing, enjoys his racing. Although he's 10 years old, he's still showing that he's more and more capable on the big Saturday races.
Okay, Rock on Ruby then for Paddy. We'll go over to Haydock now then for our next two, and we start with their 225, a grade 3 handicap hurdle here over 2 mile and 6. Big field for this one. We've got 16 runners in comparison to some of the races we've had. They've been small field sizes, but plenty to go at here. Joint fives at the time recording, Shantou Bob and T for 2 at 5-1. What did you like?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these races that certain trainers do seem to target a bit more, but it's not going to be pleasant viewing this. Like I say, if you know, the weather deteriorates and ground deteriorates, and obviously, you know, they're going to be racing there today, so the ground is going to be pretty cut up, isn't it? You know, so it'll be interesting to see. But I mean, there's a few in here. I think the man at the moment, in the saddle anyway, Dave Noonan's got a good ride for his boss, Low Key. He'd be an interesting horse to keep an eye on. A lot of these horses early doors in these races, in the early part of the season, the form, you have to take it sort of a little bit carefully, because a lot of people are aiming towards, you know, next March. So this time of the year, in these sort of in these races that they're qualified to run in, they're generally not, you know, the screw isn't that tightened up to go first time. So it's you have to try and tread carefully with these races. Sometimes they can throw up the odd funny result. But I do like to look at David Pipe's horse here. And like I said, Dave Noonan is the man of the moment in the saddle. He will actually be claiming 7 in the race tomorrow. But he rode a 7-pound claim out at Wincanton yesterday, a track that's actually been very, very lucky for him this year. I hope he gets a good show with this one tomorrow for his boss, David Pipe.
Okay, Low Key then for Paddy in the 225 at Haydock. Final race on the podcast then is the 3 o'clock. It's the big one of the day, the Betfair Chase, of course. At the time of recording, we make Silvaniaco Conti the 5-6 favourite. 5-2 about Q Card, Dinast 8-1, 9's Ballinagore, and 14-1 for Holywell. You touched on this race a little bit earlier on, Paddy. What do you fancy for it?
It is a race. Sometimes it can turn into a war of attrition. And, you know, I'm going to say it again, it all depends on what the weather does and how bad track conditions are come this time tomorrow. But I was impressed with Q-Card at Weatherby. I thought he jumped great, and I thought he winged the last. And although he winged the last and landed running, I still thought for 5 strides that he might actually get collared at Weatherby. But he didn't. Once he got over to that rail and Paddy Brennan got a smack into him, he showed plenty of resolution and he ran to the line again. And it was the first time, because I suppose people have cribbed the horse at times. He's got a little bit of an odd head carriage, but it's hindered him in any way, because he's a very good jumper. He races enthusiastically. And I think Colin Tizzard has done a great job with this whole horse, because he's given the Tizzard family some great, great days down the years. And it'll be interesting to see. But I just think round Haydock, you know, proper testing ground, 3 miles, Silvaniaco Conti, he just never knows when to lie down. Noel Fahili knows him very, very well. And for me, probably on the day, I just think, although I was impressed with Q-Card at Weatherby, he had a hard enough race. Silvaniaco Conti probably didn't just have as hard a race on his reappearance, although running very, very well. And I would just slightly edge for the Paul Nicholls horse tomorrow.
Okay, Q Card then getting the vote for Paddy. There we are, the thoughts of Paddy Aspall ahead of Saturday's racing. And remember, you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 11:35 PM with Gary Capewell, Alistair Whitehouse Jones and Andy Holding in the studio for Lingfield, Huntingdon, Haydock and Ascot in the afternoon. Then we've got Wolverhampton in the evening, and don't forget an Irish Card at Gowran Park as well. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition, Paddy, and best of luck on Saturday.
Good man, Sam, thanks.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.